What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into another great episode of The Stoop, where we talk hoops, hoops, and more hoops. I'm your guy, TJ. And before we get started, I got to give a big shout out to my good people at 24/7, my guy Dave and everybody. You see those customized basketballs. So listen, if you got a league, you got a rec league, church league, AAU tournament, it doesn't matter. You need a customized ball, Dave Morrison, the good folks at 24/7 Basketball got you guys taken care of. All right. Thanks, Dave. Keep up the great work. Listen, this is my big, big HBCU shout out to these show because both of these guys are forerunners for the HBCU wave, and I'm glad to have them on the show today. So let me first get started with this one gentleman. He's a Tiger, but you got to make sure you say a Maroon Tiger at that, man. He's from our neck of the woods. He's a hometown type of guy, man. Listen, he's been in the executive world, and he's also stepping into a new endeavor coming up real soon. So I just definitely want to say welcome and shout out my guy, Mr. CJ Simmons, for coming on the show today. CJ. Appreciate
what's up, man?
You.
Happy to be here, man. Appreciate the shout
absolutely,
out.
Absolutely. Another one of our HBCU alums on the show today. He's a Bison, by the way. He started on tourism and hospitality, worked his way up, and now he's a VP with that good brand we'll talk about. He's an executive as well. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Mr. John Ferguson. What's going on, John?
Hey, hey, TJ. Thank you for having me today. Look forward to the conversation. And yes, HU one time, you know, Howard is definitely making some traction with our newest elected vice president.
Yeah, you guys got a lot to
for sure. Got a lot to shout
on these days, man, and congrats to that as well. So let's talk sports, gentlemen. You both have been part of it and synonymous with the DC climate and DC branding when it comes to the sports. What have you learned from being executive in DC? Because DC has a rich sports history.
I can kick us off here. One thing that really stands out to me with the rich sports history is also that it's a very transient city. So I think one of the biggest things that really stood out to me when I first, you know, entered into the sports industry, working with Monumental Sports, was that sometimes if we had a really big game, we might have a lot of people at the game that aren't necessarily cheering for the home team. And so it's definitely a mixture that you see because DC is a melting pot. We have people whose roots are elsewhere, but they're here currently doing business, et cetera. But I will say that I have seen a tremendous increase in the home team, sort of rooting for the home team. You know, I always think about what the Washington football team and the Cowboys, you would be surprised how many Cowboy fans you may have in this area. But with the Wizards, I definitely think we have a strong presence. And without a doubt, the Capitals are definitely running this region when it comes to the NHL. And then of course the Mystics are holding it down. So I think that was sort of interesting to me just to sort of see in action how transient the population is in DC.
Yeah, I think, I think, you know, with that, but also, you know, I think more people are starting to, at least the younger generation will have more teams that they can in the market that they can love and enjoy, you know? So I think you look at the Caps, you look mm-hmm. at the Mystics, look at the Nationals, like how you build, you know, long-term fans and is due to success of the teams. Right. And the Caps have had sustained success, you know, Mystics as well. So Nats are, you know, riding that wave as well. So like this sustained success will build, you know, a lot of the fandom here for the younger generation. So that's one thing. But something that John mentioned is, you know, what I was seeing when I was, you know, with Monumental on the analytics side and looking at demographics is, you know, a lot of people here, there's government contractors and the type of businesses here. So those are the types of partners that we're looking at to do, you know, a lot of our deals with. And, you know, and then obviously people on the Hill and politics, things like that. So like the type of people that are here, I think this is the number one city for college educated people as well. It's also like number one market as well for the fittest city. So I think just looking at the type of people that are also fans of the teams, like that's the type of area, this type of area that, you know, excuse me, you would look at to kind of go out and, you know, pitch deals and sponsorships.
Absolutely. So I want both of you gentlemen and an opportunity to reach out and engage people who want to get into this line of work and being in sports. But many people don't realize the jobs that exist off the court or off the field. What potentially got you both into wanting to be into the executive world or being into the industry overall?
I could start this one off, John. I think for me, it was, you know, being at a crossroads in my career early on. And, you know, I was at a company that downsized and I got laid off. And at that point, it was just an opportunity for me to figure out, like, what do I actually want to do, you know? And looking internally and figuring out, like, what do I love? What do I truly enjoy? Like, what can I do just, you know, that I would just, like, feel passionate about? And so the idea of sports came, you know, in my mind. And it was like, I don't know how to work in sports. I don't know how to do that. And I only knew about very few careers. And so, you know, even me and John being here are like, you know, this is good information to share, because I only knew about being a coach or a GM, obviously the athlete, you know, a trainer, the different things like that, an agent. And so careers in, you know, HR or analytics or marketing, and like, just, you know, if you look at a career in another brand, like a lot of those transition over into sports as well. Right. And so I just didn't know that. So I knew that was something I wanted to do, but like how to do it. And I found some jobs online, but, you know, with applying that, I got no callbacks. I didn't have connections, or my resume also didn't align with, you know, these positions. So for me, it was like a chance to rebrand myself. And so I decided to go back to school. So I'm going to NYU for grad school to study sports business. And that sort of shifted everything and kind of got me the knowledge of like what careers are out there, the information on just what the business of sports is like, because there's definitely a difference of being a fan and actually working on the business side. Like they're completely different things. And then, you know, kind of taking that and progressing throughout time to, you know, get to where I am now. But it was really looking internally to see what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then trying to find more information to figure out, like, how do I do this? And what, like, even just the way of phrasing it, like, I knew I wanted to do sponsorships, but I couldn't tell that to someone. I'm like, yeah, you know, you see the things on the court. And like, even what you just said with the basketball, right? Like, I'm like, yeah, I want to do that. Is that like marketing? Is that like, I don't know how to, like, I didn't know how to word it. And then in class, you know, we had a guest speaker. He came, he's like, hey, I work in sponsorships. And here's this, here's the activation side, here's the sales side, here's the ideation or analytics side, you know, and different things. I'm like, oh, okay, that's it. That's what I wanted to do, you know? So all of that, I got the information to then know what I want to do to then go forward and you know, attack it from there.
Definitely, definitely. Go ahead, John.
For me, I definitely fell into sports. It was nothing that I was sort of pursuing from a sort of a strategic standpoint. I was just looking for opportunities to grow in the field of human resources. Gotcha. I do think I'm probably an outlier when it comes to those that do work in sports, though. I think generally they are the type that this has been sort of a lifelong goal. They have, you know, did various sports management degrees, et cetera. But I actually fell into it and it has been a good fit for me. You know, fun fact, I'm celebrating 9 years today in the sports industry. So it's been a good run. What they say is, you know, time flies when you're having a good time. So I definitely agree with that. And it was so fun that I started with hair and now I'm bald. But hey, that's all because it was a good show.
Absolutely. So it's crazy because I never really thought a team, you're a VP. So I fell into this. Like you see guys with the title of VPs, they want to go that route. But it's good that you showed your candor with that. Because not a lot of people see what goes behind the scenes with people personally in their professional roles and their professional grind. And speaking of grind, you know, everybody sees the shine, but a lot of people don't see the grind. So what were some of the things that you guys can remember that you did that people wouldn't probably even imagine you did to get to the plateaus that you've ascended to already? I can think for myself, people don't know my family used to have a sanitation business back home. And I used to run behind the garbage truck every Saturday as a kid. And one thing, my cousin, I'm going to shout out to John P. for this. He always said to me, keep up, because if you don't keep up, the truck will leave you. And I think about that as life. If you don't keep up, the people are going to leave you. So that was the one lesson that I learned, even with garbage and sanitation, that you got to keep up. But what were some of the things you guys did just to get to the levels that you was ascended to?
I think for me, it's sort of similar framework to keep up, but mine is closed mouths don't get fed. So I've always sort of known that I wanted more, I could do more, I could contribute more, I could add more value. And, you know, recently I've done a lot of just sort of reflection, self-reflection in this pandemic of being at home, you know, spending time with the family. And there's so much, like, as a kid that I did not know.
Right.
Like, just couldn't even fathom some of the things that I've been able to do or where I am today. And so that's where I really believe in the power of, like being curious at all stages, and even in being a parent, making sure that I can give my kids exposure, let them know that anything that they see is within their reach. because it's so interesting how your foundation or your upbringing or where you're from can really set you up for what you see as something you can achieve in life. Mm-hmm. It's just very interesting how that can really change a lot of things for people. So for me, it's just closed mouths, don't get fed. Always be curious, continue to learn. And like you say, don't get left behind. So keep an eye out there. And I think the biggest thing is you want to remember that you are in control. Invictus, I'm the master of my fate, captain of my soul. I think I butchered that. But yes, that is generally it and what you want to try to remember in life.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, for me, I was late 20s and I took on internships. Okay. So I was, not getting paid a lot. And throughout these internships, I had to do things like set up tables on the concourse and, I don't know, just a lot of, I can't even really think of those things now because it wasn't, someone else might look at it and feel like, how could you do this, And actually even the people that I reported to were younger than me, but they were in sports. They started out in sports before me. So for me, it was just, I never looked at it that way of like, this is grunt work or something that's tough. It was just always a way of, this is an opportunity. And like, this is something that I wanted to do. They have more experience in this line of work. So for me, it's what I had to do. And so I did it. And, being at the games, before games, setting up games, being there late afterwards as well. I think networking, I remember, a guy, Steve Payman, who, he's on like Beyonce's team now, but he was like head of Chase. And I was trying to get in contact with this guy for a while. Like I saw he went to Morehouse. I'm like, oh, this is a Morehouse guy. And he works in sports. I got to get in contact with him. Sent him emails, never got anything back. My brother worked there at Chase, said he couldn't get in contact with him as well. And I'm like, I got to get in contact with this guy somehow, some way. And surprisingly, he was getting an award and at the same place my dad was getting an award. It was just like ironic. And I waited to talk to him for like over an hour, just to like make that connection. And it was just a grind that I had. Like, it's people that I wanted to meet. I would wait for them. I would talk to as many people as I could after like all the different events or conferences and things that the school would hold. And this was just something that was random that I just saw the connection. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to him I waited like an hour to talk to him as he was talking to multiple people. And after I got to talk to him, he was like, oh yeah, I don't even really look at my emails. A lot of this stuff comes through my assistant and but he was like, look, give me your phone. I'll email her from your phone right now. We'll get things on the books. And so we did. And then that built that relationship. But it was all like, it wasn't that he just was ignoring me. It was just that he didn't see it. And from there, he was so open and candid, which I figured, he would be going to the same school, mm-hmm. that like, it takes that extra step. It can't be like, I want to talk to this person, or I want to do this. And, oh man, it's too long. Oh no, I don't want to do this. Like you want this because sort of like, keeping up. There are so many people, and John can talk about this for days. There are so many people that want these jobs, especially entry level positions, thousands for like one position. It can be sometimes, and you have to find ways to set yourself apart and keeping up and, making these connections. And even if it means you, standing in line, waiting for someone for a very long time. And there's many other things, as far as networking that can be seemingly arduous, but, you got to do it. You got to find a way to do it. And even if I got to him and he was like, I got to go, fine, I tried. It's you putting yourself out there to really, really try to, make sure that you succeed in your endeavor.
A key theme there I want to keep touching on here is shoot your shot. So CJ talked about, I had to be persistent with that individual. I wanted to get with them. And that's a great example. They both went to Morehouse. So he knew they had this connection. It's just a matter of, he's a busy individual. I'm in the same boat. Like someone may reach out to me and I always tell people, look, if you need me, I want to help you. I've already given you that commitment. But if I missed your email, I need you to follow up with me because so many, especially students, you're probably already a little nervous. Like, I got to send this email. I don't know this person. Send the email. But I also want to remind you to follow up because oftentimes they say, well, I sent the email and they never got back to me. Did you follow up? Well, no, I don't want to pester them. No, you should follow up, especially if someone has already sort of given you the open door to say like, hey, connect with me. I'm happy to help you. Because, you know, I might get 100, 200 emails in a day and I'll see CJ's email coming. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get back to CJ. 200 emails later, 3 deadlines, 3 emergencies. I forgot about getting back with CJ. And so a lot of times those, the people that I've been able to help are the ones who did that circle back. You always remember the boomerang. You need to circle back. You need to follow up. So shoot your shot is a theme. Closed mouths don't get fed is a theme. Don't get left behind. Those are all themes that can take you far in life, beyond trying to get a career, but in where you just see yourself going in that direction. Those are the themes that I think you should focus on to carry yourself.
Yeah, those are good, great tidbits and jewels from both of y'all. I appreciate that, especially with the tenacity, if you will, to keep going back and forth until you get to maybe the response either you were looking for or not looking for, but at least you got that response. Speaking of responding, a lot of people responded last year in 2020 with all the racial injustices and just so much things that were going on. A lot of people looked at it, it was just significantly wrong. However, I was speaking to my dad and he said, you know what, son, you know what? It's actually wrong, but it's also right. And the reason why he said that is because it pulled back the curtain to race in America more than we ever seen. My father grew up in the 60s. So for him to be like, you know, son, it's hurtful and it's bad, but we needed this. Talk about how 2020 may have pulled back the curtain in terms of leveling the playing field of diversity in sports and the executive world.
Yeah, I think, you know, you see at least a lot of public initiatives for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of companies are, you know, making that investment into hiring someone in that role or to be more diverse with their leadership and just hiring in general. Now I think we'll, you know, they'll have to be time to see how much success that breeds, but mm-hmm. companies are talking about this and companies are putting their dollars towards these types of efforts and initiatives. And so a lot of that is helpful, you know? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I don't know if it's going to be every single company or place that's doing it, but it's a lot more than it was. Wow. And I think it'll be a good thing because we, you know, there's little, just a little bit over time, like you'll start to see improvements and certain things will just not be acceptable, you know? And even, you know, speaking of Kamala, you know, and even Biden, when he won, of talking about, you know, the Black community helped me and, you know, I'll have your back. Like, have you heard a president say that? Like, that wasn't Black, you know, like not Obama, obviously. Like uh-huh. even, you know, Kamala being the first, you know, female VP and Black, you know, all of that. And like, I won't be the last one. So starting to see this change happen is important. Jennifer King, who's someone we highlighted, who's Washington a coach for the Washington football team. Yeah. Like that's important. You're starting to see people in these careers and not even just Black. I mean, there was a woman that was refereeing the Last Super Bowl night. Yesterday. Yeah. So like that, it's just not only just, it's a lot of communities, I think being pushed forward. And I think 2020 definitely helped with that.
Appreciate it. Go ahead, John, chime in, please.
I think we always have to remember that this is a journey.
Right.
Diversity, equity, inclusion is a journey. Some of us have been on this journey a whole lot longer than others. And so we have to give space for that. I do think the one thing that made 2020 different, And I'm pulling this from Reverend Al Sharpton at the memorial service for George Floyd. And he said, you know, I've seen this done before, but I've never seen it done in a global pandemic. I've seen this done before, but I've never seen it with such a diverse group of people sort of hitting the streets, marching to the same beat and sort of rallying behind the same cry. He said, I've seen this done before, but not at the scale in which we sort of saw this year, or the previous year in 2020. Not only were there marches, protests, and events to give voice to those that are marginalized happening in the US, but they were happening globally. So yeah. I think what we see a big difference, and TJ, you talked about your dad, my mom too was of that same era, is that there's just the speed in which information can travel. And also having these little powerful devices in our hands, these cell phones, which can be, which I think are blessings in so many ways, but I also think are great tools to learn. There was a sort of a spoof that I saw. I can't remember where I saw it, but it was sort of, you know, in 2020, what I saw and I'm just going to be transparent, was a lot of, oh, you know, we didn't know this was taking place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh. There's too much information available. This phone, Google can give you everything you need to know. So I think what I'm appreciating or starting to see is, I talked about curiosity earlier. Mm-hmm. I think what we saw in 2020 was more people who never had a reason to or a need to be curious are now becoming curious and able to recognize where they may have positions of power or privilege and where they do not, and understand just the and when you look at a human system, how all of that pulls and tugs at each other and how we interact with each other. So I think for some people, 2020 opened their eyes to a world that they just never had to slow down enough to focus.
Yeah.
And so when I look at the timing of it all being a pandemic, it was hard to not see this. It was hard to ignore this. And so I think those are some of the benefits that we see as we continue on this journey, because it is a journey. We are nowhere where we want to be in this process, but as long as we continue to open doors. And I think for sports specifically, typically, and just my view of the industry, it's kind of been, we just stick to sports. You know, whenever I would onboard people at our organization, I say in a city that's divided by politics, this is a place where people generally come together and sort of check those political stances at the door. But what we saw this year was that sports had to enter that group chat, and they had to let it be known, you know,
great point.
What are you doing? What are you saying? Because I think what we saw that was a big difference in 2020 also was that silence was no longer going to be accepted. Because if you didn't say something, that was also speaking a lot. So where do you want to land in this dialogue? And so I think what we saw were a lot of good sayings, a lot of good future actions to come. I think for 2021 is where we need to start seeing the return on that investment. You know, what is the impact that's being made? Because we know that it's going to take, a systemic change for us to get to where we want to be. But I also recognize that those that are marginalized can't make that change by themselves. So we need the collective community to help usher that as we continue to move forward.
Absolutely. And John, you chimed on something you said, opening the door. For being in this industry and you guys being, I would say, definitely young OGs and all the things that you've already reached, what are the next level of goals that you do have? Who's maybe also pushed open the door for you and gave you that ability to come in? Because sports is sometimes different than a lot of other different platforms. Like, let's say if you're a teacher, you can maybe open it up for another teacher to come on in or something to that effect. But sports is kind of finite. So, John, if you don't mind going first, because also I want CJ to talk about his goal and his next endeavor as well.
I think for me, it's all about lifting as we climb, make sure that I can give back. And then being in the HR space, I see those opportunities. And I think anyone that has worked with me knows that I want to see you succeed, even if that means you grow beyond monumental. You know, if I can put in a good word for you here, because, you know, I think my motto, I try to, like, you know, pass that on to everyone else, like, closed mouths don't get fed. You know, sometimes you max out of where you are, and that's great. That means you've gotten all that you can. And so I want you to continue to be strategic and say, okay, well, maybe I need to start looking at an exit strategy now, because it's time for me to get to the next level. And sometimes that next level may not come at your current employer. And so to do that, you may have to go external, continue to grow. Then who knows, you may circle back. You know, for myself, I want to continue to grow. I think what I'm starting to get at most is helping and seeing people reach their full potential. I think 2020 was a rough year for just about everybody, whether you were furloughed, whether you were laid off, whether you took a pay reduction, whatever that might have looked like for you personally. But I think it also pushed people to places where they could no longer be complacent. And, you know, when I think back over my career, I think the one, you know, I don't want to say failure, but the one opportunity I had was when I, before I joined monumental, I felt like I had reached this place of like, okay, well, I've achieved, you know, I'm in a better position than most people that I grew up with. And so like, I could be comfortable here. I could be complacent, like, okay, this is good. I got a job, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But there was that little inkling of like, there's more out here. You want more, you want to do more. And so you know, thankful to my, you know, my wife, she was kind of like, I mean, if you want to do something else, then make it happen. And so I just want to remind people of that. Sometimes we can get bogged down in where we are and only able to see what's immediately in front of us. And I think 2020 put people in a position of, wow, I see what's in front of me, but I'm also taking a step back and I'm seeing the really big picture. And I think people are really starting to pivot and go after opportunities that they may not have pursued with such energy because, you know, everything was going fine. There was no need. Everything was smooth. And so I'm all here for the lessons. You know, I don't ever think anyone should lose in life, but there should be a lesson. And I think a lot of people are recognizing the lessons of 2020. I feel like 2020 was a year of like, I'm gonna make you be still. I'm gonna make you sit and reflect on this. I'm gonna make you uncomfortable. I'm gonna make you hurt in some kind of way, whatever that uncomfortable feeling was. But I think we're starting to see where some of those seeds that were planted in 2020 are now starting to sprout. And I think, you know, people, you know, such as yourself, TJ, I don't know how long you guys have been doing this podcast, but I have a lot of people like, you know what? I've been wanting to do this podcast thing. I'm gonna go do that. Or you know what? I'm ready to pivot. I want to go to a different industry. I'm gonna do that. And so we're seeing a lot of self-reflection, and I'm happy for that because that generally means that people are getting clarity out of where they are in life. So for me, it's really about, I think I've reached a level where I want to make sure that I can give away all the information that I know. I was first generation to go to college, first generation to sort of do this corporate thing. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that I can pass all of that down. Where did I fail? What did that bruise? What's the story behind that bruise? Because trust me, there's plenty of lessons. And I would say the next thing is that as I continue to grow is to foster relationships with people that can be mentors to me. Because as much as I want to pour out, I want to make sure that someone is able to pour into me. And yes, that goes back to just sort of having my eyes open or someone to lead me on a journey of like, yo, there's more out here. Because even where I am today, I could be like, okay, this is what I see. This is what I know. Right. But I have one of my mentors. He's phenomenal. He's like, look, let me paint a picture for you and sort of walk me through his career, like the highs, the lows. And even we had an opportunity to talk about like, what did compensation look like at all these different levels? And that just allowed me to open my eyes to like, there's a lot to get this out here. But sometimes you need someone to sort of help you navigate that process, but also see further than you're able to see for yourself. And I think CJ sort of talked into that. Sometimes people have the ability to see something in us that we don't see. And right. So you want to keep those people in your circle because something that you may not realize is your superpower is really your superpower because it's what makes you different, but you may just see it sort of running the mill. This is what I always do, but it could be something that makes you really special that you should learn to sort of tap into or harness at a larger scale.
Absolutely. Go ahead, CJ, please.
Yeah, I think, so for me, you know, what's next is a new job. I start on Monday. Just got a job at Excel Sports Management, so I'll be the director of marketing solutions there.
Congratulations on that too, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So I was at Monumental and some stuff that John is talking about, a conversation that I had with him, you know, of, you know, wanting to get to the next level and, you know, just that whole approach of trying to be better.
Right.
You know, something that I think, and it's sort of a phrase I heard from David Goggins, is like being uncommon amongst the uncommon. Ooh. And, you know, that sort of is, you know, going off of what John said of, you know, we're uncommon because whether you look at us as being successful, just of Black people, that's one level of being uncommon. Mm-hmm. But now we're all uncommon and all like each other. Now, how am I uncommon amongst this uncommon group, you know? And so, you know, those are things that I think of, and it's a fact. We certainly get complacent at many times, and it just requires that way of thinking like, there's more, I can do more, I can be more. And seeing that there's some people that are at their levels, you know, that are doing certain things. We mentioned some, obviously Jennifer King, but Danita Johnson, who's just, you know, with the DC United now, like there's people who are breaking barriers and doing things. Those are uncommon people amongst uncommon people. Right. And so always trying to find your lane and what that may look like, you know, that could be starting a podcast. Some other people might have podcasts, but yours can be different. Or, you know, maybe it's just different things you can think of that each person brings their own light to a situation.
Absolutely.
I think as far as mentors, I mean, for me, you know, similarly, I met a guy, Steve Greenberg. You know, he was deputy commissioner of Major League Baseball. Dad was a Hall of Fame baseball player, pretty much founded ESPN Classic. You know, he was a guy that I met and was like nervous and spoke to him, but he was on the board for the Jackie Robinson Foundation. I'm a Jackie Robinson Foundation scholar. So always trying to draw that connection, was trying to speak to someone. And this was like before I started NYU, it was like a few weeks and I went to they had an event. So I went and spoke to different people. And when I told him, he was like, oh yeah, here's my card. Send me an email. We'll talk. And I sent him an email, like this long email of like, how did you find mentor? What do I should be doing? Da, 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 da. And he wrote me back, hey, you want to come into the office and sit down and talk sometime? And I'm like, what? This guy wants to talk to me? Yeah. Like, this is crazy. And so we sat down and he had like super down to earth, super like chill. Mm-hmm. And he is, I give a lot of my like career help to him because he opened the doors for the Mets. I mean, he's on the board for the Mets and helped me get the first internship there.
Great.
And every time, like, he was just reaching out to people. I mean, I got the internship at MLB's Office of the Commissioner, and he was reaching out to Rob Manfred. Like, he was reaching out to people that were like top execs and like BCCing me on these people. And I'm like,
yeah, that's heavy.
You reaching out to this guy on a regular? Like, for me, like, yeah. It was just crazy to me. And, you know, he really, really, like, you know, even here, you know, at Monumental, we reached out to Ted, you know, and so his networks run very deep and he's very well respected. And I also will say, you know, at the Yankees, Nicole Arsenault, who was the first Black manager I had in sports, and maybe only, I'll have to think about that, but she really saw that I was, you know, having a tough time just managing certain things and trying to just get things together. And I remember she like offered to spend a Saturday with me, like in the office, just organizing. It was like nuts. I was just thinking about that today. Like that we literally went to the office and we sat down. She helped me like organize my emails. She helped me organize my desk. Like, oh, your snacks should probably be here. Take them out the box because it's saving space in your desk to put like pens and this and that. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, we organized on a Saturday. Like, she does not have to do that, but she saw in me, like, you know, what I could become. And, you know, like, she really invested in me in that regard and forever grateful. So, you know, kind of the follow through with that is I'm trying to help people all the time now. Like, I'm trying to pay it back as much as I can, as best as I can, whether that's sharing knowledge, whether that's sharing, you know, people's information and resumes when I see positions out there, whether that's just jumping on a phone call. Like, there's so many people that did that for me that helped me along the way. And also just being part of Black Sports Professionals, the president of the DC chapter, like, that's something I feel like, you know, helping other people who are peers, one, know other people, I think is important because that's how, you know, new jobs. And that's how I found my job of being in a group of Black corporate sponsorship people and someone shared this position. And I'm like, oh, cool. That, you know, that connection is how people can move and share ideas and things like that. But also the younger generation, like, how do we influence them? How do we show them about these careers in sports? But how do we also help them, you know, along their journey? Because it's a tough journey. But much of the information that I didn't have from people who looked like me for the most part, like, you know, I want to be able to do that and share that with people as well.
Listen, I know, I think a conversation that we had maybe a week or so ago, the next day I secured a deal just based upon the thought that I never thought about what you thought about until we talked. And sometimes you just got to navigate in spaces where you share with people who know what they're doing and just don't see the same way you do ideally. So thank you for that. But
congrats on that. Congrats on that.
We ain't finished the paperwork yet, but
it's getting started. Cool. Yeah.
Most definitely. But congrats to you when you're in the position as well. And thank you guys for sharing that. But talking about spaces, we reached a new space with this whole COVID-19 and being in an area where we had to socially distance. And it was probably not normal, especially when you do executive sports level business. What was the biggest caveat, takeaway, lesson learned, anything you had to do when you experienced going from seeing your colleagues, being able to go to this meeting, that meeting, just see people through cubicles and offices to now being at home? What was the biggest adjustment for you both?
I could start it. I think it's being intentional. I think has to be the biggest. Like for me, I'm very big on camaraderie, networking, things like that. I love, you know, water cooler talk. I love, yeah. you know, going to get breakfast or lunch and you're just talking to people, passing them in the hallway or going to their desk, like, you know, just being in the area and just stopping by. But now it's like you're home, and in order to connect with someone, you have to literally schedule it. And there's no just popping in on someone, you know, like, right. I guess you could FaceTime them technically, but you know, that's in etiquette of society. Like you want to schedule it, you right. know, and kind of get things going. So, I mean, I think that's very difficult, right? Like, you know, scheduling out your normal conversations with people, but in order for you to feel connected to them, in order for you to know what's going on in their lives and, you know, their struggles, and maybe you sharing things that's struggling on your behalf, you know, like that connection is important. But I felt like we needed to be intentional in doing that. And, you know, I think at the start, there was a lot of energy into that. There was these virtual happy hours. And that was like the big thing that we, you know, people pushed going forward. And, you know, something we did with BSPDC is we did small networking happy hours, because I felt like the large ones, I didn't get a chance to like meet people or really know someone. Someone might say something, I'm like, oh yeah, I would love to connect with that person. He's from New York or he's like whatever. Like it's just mm-hmm. so much going on and I couldn't really do that. So I was in a lot of small groups that I either set up through BSP or either other ones that were set up through MBA, right. you know, different things like that. And I had a chance to meet people over time in smaller groups to where I might talk to you this month and then I'll talk to you the next month and then the next month or maybe a few months later. And even, you know, sharing the news with people about my new job. Like I went back to some of those networking groups like, hey, I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Happy New Year. You know, I know it's, you know, yeah. still we're in February now, but hey, here's a new position. But like we still have that connection and that bond because we did that together. So those things may be tough and it requires the initiative to do it and to like set schedules. Mm-hmm. It still allowed us and people to meet so many more people that we probably wouldn't have met. Even TJ, you and I, like it's crazy. We haven't like met prior to this, but
right.
I mean, I met so many people through this time that I probably wouldn't have met or even had not in this opportunity, but like willingness to like reach out to this person and want to meet with them. You know, now I'm really more intentional in doing that. And it has definitely served this benefit for me and hopefully for other people if they're doing it as well.
Absolutely.
I sort of echo everything that CJ has shared. And I would say from my perspective, the biggest thing immediately was sort of employee safety and business continuity. Like, how can we do this? I think traditionally sports has been one where you go into the office and there is no remote work. But what we learned is that all of that is something that can happen and it can be effective at the same time. So I think, you know, really just make it, because we didn't know what we were facing. I'll never forget. It's like, you know, my department like, take your computers home because we're not sure, but we may not be in here tomorrow. But, you know, everyone's like, well, you know, if anything, it's like, this will be 2 weeks. We'll be back, you know, whatever. And so now we know that we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of being home that, you know, new habits have been formed. We all have new habits, new ways of doing things because, I mean, I don't know the data behind it. I used to know some stats, but it takes, you know, so many times for a new habit to form. We have surpassed all of those benchmarks. Like we have mm-hmm. new habits at this point. And I think two things that really are sort of teased up throughout this process is sort of communication, because I think if you were in a function or group that had poor communication, you probably struggled initially. And I think the pandemic and sort of, but you know, in a 24-hour window, going from being in the office all day and being able to pop in on CJ to now being completely remote,
yeah.
you really wanted to make sure you had a good cadence of communication. Now, what form of communication you chose, but you had to make sure that you kept that sort of the liveliness and the life that comes with being in an office setting and sort of continuing to conduct business. And I think the other thing that really bubbled up here is a greater emphasis on sort of employee wellness, mental health, because one of the biggest concerns I had, you know, were those individuals who were by themselves,
right.
especially in the beginning, what was like, you know, I'm afraid to go to the grocery store because you don't know what's going to happen there. Yeah. You know, my wife and I would always talk, I was like, if I was in DC by myself, I would have gone home. Like I would not have stayed in some small apartment you know, afraid of, you know, what's going on with the pandemic, all of that. And then you had the, you know, social justice movement that kicked off. There was a lot of factors. And I know for me, some of that was mentally exhausting at some points of just trying to navigate that and knowing that I have to be on for other people, right. But how am I making sure that I'm taking care of myself so that I can be on, because you don't, mm-hmm. you can't give too much and then now you're depleted. So that was definitely something that I saw in 2020 in the pandemic. But I think some of the silver lining is that we all know that we can use Zoom and Teams. Now I will say I have sort of Zoom fatigue at times. Like yeah. I'll pass on some of those random happy hours. I think CJ brings up a good point. The smaller ones are where you can have more of a dialogue. Sometimes they could just be too large to really try to connect with people. So I think it's allowed us to have access and exposure to people and things and conversations that otherwise would have been limited simply because we would have been trying to book someone to come in market. But now coming in market is not the issue. It's just, hey, are you available at this time? Because we all want to get together and connect. So I really like the accessibility that has been offered throughout this time.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, we don't have the opportunity to access sports like we normally used to have it, and gatherings and seeing fans and the fandom and all those great things. But as executives, you guys have seen a lot, and the monumental brand and culture has put together some champions in more recent years. As executives, but take a step back as fans, what has been your best fan executive moment that you might've had thus far, if you think back on it?
I think we probably got the same one.
It's an easy one. Caps championship.
Yeah.
It's the easy one. I mean, that was everything. It's a top five moment in my life, like, period. Like, oh, wow. it just, you know, things that really are high on my list are somewhat, like, it's usually not one occasion. It's usually, like, over a long period of time. And so that, it was just the entire season. Then you're in the playoff run, and it's like, all right, then you're up against Pittsburgh again. And then it's just, oh, we passed them. Then we might make it. That went down 3-2. Then we win the next two games, you know, with shutting the team out. And then, oh, we're in the Stanley Cup final now. Oh, then we're going to fly to Vegas. Okay, that's cool. Like, then we're winning game. Like, oh, what? We're up 3-1. Like, oh, we can win this. And then we're down in game 7 and we come back. And it's like all the emotions and everything for that long period of time. I mean, it's hands down the Caps championship. Oh, then the parade and then the rings. Then, I mean, it was a year full of celebration and excitement like that. It was amazing.
Gotcha.
It was, I think the Caps championship allowed us to sort of understand what some of that stardom is like from a fan and an employee, though, because people are like, yo, you work with the Caps. Like, I remember when I got my ring, like, I went to some, like, happy hour and, like, kind of by myself just sitting at the bar and, like, people were like, yo, is that the Caps ring? Like, can I see it? Can I take a picture of it? Like, can I hold it? So it was definitely an exciting moment. But I think everything that CJ said, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Mystics. It was a different level of exposure, though, because they played in a smaller arena. So it wasn't as much access to a degree to us as staff and employees, but it was another great run. And I think one of the downsides is that they never got the chance to sort of have their parade, which is something that I think is just tradition, but it's like, it's a feel good moment for the team, the players, the coaches, but also the whole machine that's behind that makes all of that work. But definitely I agree, you know, the Capitals was phenomenal. And I think it was also just the story of the season, because fans were mad. Fans were leaving. Like, people were like, I'm not renewing. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that.
Right.
And it was those that renewed that ended up getting playoff ticket access. And so it was just, it was definitely an up and down season, but then it just clicked and we kept it going. So it was definitely one of those high emotion. I actually want to go back and look at the sort of season recap that our production team put together, just of the journey to getting to the championship. But it was definitely a memory that I'll take with me forever.
And real quick, do y'all both still, y'all have Valor's, Mystics, and Cap rings? Y'all have them all?
I have two. CJ might have three.
I don't have Valor. I don't have a Valor ring. So I only have Caps and Mystics.
Same here.
Okay, got you. Well, let's take a step back just only a couple of years ago. Imagine you guys are at your high school and You're able to go back and maybe see yourself in the audience or somebody that looks at you. If you had the opportunity to go back, what are three jewels that you would give the class at your high school today?
In high school, okay. I don't know if they're going to come out in any particular order, so I was thinking college. In high school, I would probably say don't stress. Whatever that stress was, it's not that serious. You know, have fun and give yourself some grace. Because I think sometimes in high school, everyone's like, well, what are you going to major in? What are you going to do when you grow up? I just want to go to McDonald's with my friends and get something to eat. So I would say don't stress. Stay focused, though. You know, I don't mean the total opposite of that. I want you to stay focused and do what you need to do. And then I would say go to an HBCU. Mm. So I would say those three things. Because my undergraduate institution was Furman University. Great experience there. But in having two little girls, I definitely want them to go to an HBCU. I'm currently, you know, at Howard and, you know, getting my MBA, which has been a phenomenal experience. But I think there's something about those 4 years when you are sort of coming into your own. And I would definitely tell myself, because that was those are the options I was looking at. Do I want to go to, you know, HBCU? For me, it came down to a financial decision, which is generally the case for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
But I hope to be able to, I would tell my high school self or, you know, someone in high school, like, figure out a way to make that happen. There's a lot of people. Expand your network. Figure out a way to make that happen, because I think the return on that investment is invaluable.
Absolutely. Go ahead, CJ.
I think for me, it would probably be a little bit, more just trusting yourself in where you are in your journey. Sort of what John was saying of, you know, don't stress. But I think with that is just believing yourself and believing what you're doing would be one. Two, and this would, you know, kind of be somewhat different, but like in college, I don't feel like I leveraged the people I had to network better. Like there was so much more information I could have taken away that would have probably helped me and changed my trajectory on certain things. But you know, kind of, I guess it was just an immaturity type thing, you know, just, I'm around, like, this is great being here, and I'm just happy to be here. You know, like, it wasn't the uncommon amongst uncommon thing. It was just, I'm uncommon. That's it. And I just want to be in the crowd. I just want to be with the group.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing would be just, I think this is always, people always have these discussions, but like, take health and finances more seriously. Like, you know, being fit, saving money, those things are very important for the long haul. And I think I would have definitely added that last piece.
Okay. Those are both great jewels. That's six of them. So if you're watching to pay attention, make sure you put those in your toolbox, because I definitely was listening there as well. Let's round it back off on some sports, gentlemen. I definitely want to thank you both for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit up on the stoop with me and just talk a little bit, but let's talk sports real quick. What'd you guys think about, from an executive standpoint, what happened in the Super Bowl? We know we in a lot of virtual things. I know there was some healthcare workers and there were some essential workers that were part of the audience live last night. But how do you think pretty much one of the biggest sports stages of them all was handled last night? And also, let's talk about the upcoming NBA finals. Maybe who you picking in the finals and what you think that's looking like. You think they're going to go back to the bubble for that because of the health reasons? And just speak on some sports for a second, fellas.
Yeah, so I think they had a third of the people that the stadium could hold in there. I think it could hold maybe 75,000. I think they had 25,000, with like 7,500 being healthcare workers that were. I don't know if everybody that came had to be test negative. I'm not sure if that is true or not. I've seen so many things online, but I know they had a lot of sort of placements. Not bobbleheads, but you know what I mean? Cutouts of people there to make it look like a lot more packed than it probably really was. And there's different sides to this, you know, that people feel like it shouldn't have had that many people. They should have, you know, I thought it was just a great job of them, you know, at least having the healthcare workers, especially the ones that were vaccinated, like the frontline people on the front line, they did a good job of doing that. I think that is important because, I mean, they don't always get the credit that they deserve. And, you know, or and in some senses, you know, even looking at teachers of the pay and, you know, respect that they deserve as well. I mean, a lot of parents are seeing that now of being home and, you know, wanting the teachers to be there to take them during the day. So I think that's, you know, that was cool. The game wasn't as good of a game as it could have been, but, you know, still, I'm sure it was still the most watched program. I mean, it was the best matchup we probably could have wanted anyway. So I'm sure they did well from a revenue standpoint and a viewership standpoint. As far as NBA, I mean, it's tough not to go with the favorites in the Lakers, I think. LeBron is, I mean, even Draymond and other people are saying, like, it seems like he's just getting better. It's kind of crazy. His knowledge of the game and the way he can see the game and the way he's just playing is just, it's just phenomenal. And, you know, watching him play is, you know, he needs to have his roses now, you know, because a lot of people, it's always this Jordan comparison and this, that, and the third, but it's like, we got to, I mean, look at Kobe. Like, Kobe, people were hating on Kobe, and then now, you know, everybody's giving Kobe, you know, all this respect and stuff like that. And it's like, LeBron is doing phenomenal things in the NBA. And so I like what the Lakers are looking like, what they're doing. And I think he knows what it takes, especially in those tough moments, to bring a team through tough, through series that are pretty tough. And just his knowledge. And obviously a lot of this, you know, health and all of that is important. Hopefully no one goes down, you know, on any team. But I think with normalcy, I think the Lakers, I think just LeBron is just that good. But he also is good at being a great teammate. And I think him helping, you know, the team get over the hump again, you know, would be tremendous. So I got the Lakers taking it.
For me, the Super Bowl, it was entertaining. It definitely wasn't as exciting from a football perspective. But I think it gave everyone a sense of normalcy. You know, everyone looked forward to, let me get my Super Bowl snacks. Let's get our wings. Let's get our chips and dip. That part felt the best. This was one year that I really wasn't as tuned in to the commercials as much as possible. They for whatever reason didn't stand out as much to me this year. I'm glad you shared some of those stats on like the folks in attendance, and I knew there were cutouts. But when I first turned on the game, I was like, yo, there's way too many people here. But I think that coupled with cutouts and like people being there, but I think you have to go with your own comfort level. You know, for myself, we probably would not have, you know, and I'm not going to say that because if somebody said, hey, John, you come to the Super Bowl, I probably would have tried to figure out a way to make that work. But I think they did, you know, they put all the appropriate safety protocols in place. And as far as the NBA goes, I'm rooting for the home team. That's the team that's behind me, the team that pays me. So that's the Wizards. We might not be there this year, but I'm hoping we will be there very soon.
Hey, listen, you never know, man, with that 7-8 play-in.
Yeah.
You never know what may happen between now and the end of the year. So, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
And I would say, I think the bubble might be an ideal potential opportunity for the playoffs. I think that just seeing how the Wizards have been impacted by, you know, testing protocols and things, just to not further delay that might be the easiest way to sort of have that process go. And also with trying to maintain player health. Mm-hmm. But I also know on the flip side of that, you know, everyone's focused on revenue and what the expenses are to host that in that type of format. So we'll see. I'm sure the leagues will come up with a solution that sort of meets everyone where they need to be and we can keep the game going.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's not every day that you have team, league, brand, entertainment and sports executives come on the stoop. So we definitely want to thank you guys for extending your time. And listen, for everybody who's watching, sometimes you really got to hold people for face value. And with these two gentlemen, I've done just that. And to be honest with you, this is probably something in terms of 4 or 5 months that I was trying to, because I know John had school, CJ, you were doing some things in transition. So, but they stuck to their word, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it's just that. You got to reach out, network. And we met me hosting an endeavor. Yeah. And look what it came to fruition today. So I really, from the depths of my heart, want to say thank you to you both. all the greatness of success, blessings, and everything that you guys do and how you paid it forward for so many different people. I hope that continues to happen. I wish you all the best in the future.
And
thanks yes. for joining. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I'll say, TJ, thank you. But also, brother, you are doing some mighty good things. And so thank you for creating this platform, engaging us, but also helping to amplify voices that may not always be amplified, because I think that's what's most important. And you have a target audience for this. And so I'm so excited to be able to engage with that audience, support you. And I look forward to seeing your continued success and growth.
Appreciate that.
I share those exact same sentiments, and we already talked offline. So yeah, I agree. I feel the same way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to catch this episode, it'll be on YouTube. It'll be on iTunes. It'll be on Google Play. It'll be on Stitcher and all of our new platforms. But once again, thank you to CJ and John. This has been another great episode of The Stoop, and we'll catch y'all soon. Take care.
See ya.
See ya.